Father, Lord, we thank you. We give you praise and give you glory, Lord, because we didn't choose you. You chose us. You chose me, Lord, when I was scattered, shattered, and broken and going nowhere. You put all the pieces together again. Glory to God. We thank you, and I praise you on this day. And as we share a few moments of your word, I just want to declare and say the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding even to the simple. Even so, Lord, let it be even now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let me take a little time today and just share with you this other pillar. I got two more in this, series of, show me thy way that I may know thee. This is, perhaps, one of the heights of it all. Today we'll be talking about becoming like him. That's right. We've started with seeking him, in order for us to know him. Then we went to loving him and worshiping him and serving him. Today, I want to talk about becoming like him. This is all part of this simple prayer of, to know him. Show me thy way, Lord, that I may know thee. A prayer of Moses that we've been talking about for several days now. Today, we become like him. We'll go back to the beginning with this one. In Genesis 1 and 26, you've heard it dozens of times on this platform. But yeah, we have to keep going back to the beginning to see what was on his mind. What was in his mind. And he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. We want to thank the Lord for even that, conceiving that even in his mind. And he spoke it forth, what was in his mind, to make man in his image, to after his likeness, to be like him in his character, in his attributes. I mean, there's so many attributes we're still discovering about God. But with his own mouth, he said the man, he said he made the man in his own image, in the image of God, created he, him, male and female, created he, them, to be in his likeness. My goodness. So that was the intent, be in his likeness, because the man will be in his likeness, he will be able to have dominion. But first, he has to be in the image of God and in his likeness. In other words, be like him and function like him. Glory to God. And in order for him to have dominion, he must come into the character of the Lord. Praise God. We'll be talking about that in this pillar that I want to share with us. So that was what was in his mind, and that is also, revealed to us in Romans chapter 8 in verse 29. We've studied the book of Romans, not made it through all of it yet. We broke away from that to do this series. But when we were in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, you might remember some powerful verses there, especially this one that relates to this subject of being, and becoming like him. And he said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So powerful. God's choice, we're told, you know, I've said it many times in this room, always preceded by his foreknowledge. He foreknew them and us, I should say. And he chose us and determined aforetime. See, predestinated means it was already predetermined that this will be their end state. They will be conformed to the image of Christ. Hallelujah. So to become like him was always in his mind. Now, Christ himself was the express image of God, you know. And we read that in, and by, you know, by extension, if Christ is the image of God and we are the image of Christ, well, you know, we are the image of God. Now, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, we read that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. It's his body, but he is the head. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And we, who are sometime alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Glory to God. In the body of his flesh through death to present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Praise God. And that mission he completed when he said, it is finished. He made provision for it, and he's still working on us to bring us to that place. So we see that Christ indeed is the image of the invisible God. Again, in Hebrews chapter 1, reading about Christ, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, that's Christ, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, even as he had obtained inheritance and a more excellent name than they. Praise the Lord. So we see that Christ, the image of the invisible God. In fact, this one scripture here calls him the not only the brightness of his glory, but the express image. I mean, how else can you describe it? Identically, just like it. You want to see God, you look at him. Exactly. You're looking right at him, you're looking at God. That's what he said to Philip. Philip, have I been with you so long a time, and yet you don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father, because he's the express image of the invisible God. Now, so to be come like him, well, we need to understand the way of Christ, because that's who we can become, you know, just like Christ. As a matter of fact, John wrote in John chapter 1, verse 12, he said, well, he came to his own rejected him, and so forth. Yeah. The world didn't know him, but those that were supposed to know him, they even rejected him. But as many as received him, he gave them power to become sons of God. You know, so at the end of the road, those that receive Christ should become sons of God in their own way as well. Christ being the first, you know, the only begotten, but not the only son, you know. I mean, it was not sufficient for God to have Christ as the only son. So to make him, you know, the firstborn among many brethren is what we are told, right? Jesus himself said in Isaiah 8 and 18, I and the children that you have given me, well, for signs and wonders. So it was not enough for Christ, you know, to be the only son. He said, conformed to the image of his son, back to Romans 8:29, that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren, but not the only one, but the first. And Jesus himself said it in John 12 and 24, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it were to fall on the ground and die, then it brings forth many more, like itself. Praise the Lord. So, and Jesus went through that process to bring forth many sons. Glory to God. Just like himself, God would bring forth many other sons unto glory. Many scriptures talk about this concept that was in the mind of God, you know, to make us to become, you know, like Christ. Let's read Hebrews chapter 2. Praise the Lord. He said that, you know, for he became him. This is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, just like we read in Colossians, in bringing many sons unto glory, not just one, to make the captain of their salvation, Christ, perfect through sufferings. And then we will go through that as well. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call us brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing unto thee. And again, I put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me, which I quoted to you out of Isaiah 8. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, Christ, so that he could be identified with them, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death. That is the devil. The devil did have power of death, you know, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. Glory to God. You know, so the devil had the power of death. Jesus said, it comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life. And when he visited with John on the Isle of Patmos, he made this startling revelation, you know, of what he had already done. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, John said, when I saw him, you know, the seven stars in his hand, the sharp two-edged sword in his mouth, countenance as the sun shining in strength, you know, feet burning as brass and flame of fire in his eyes and all these things. He said, well, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. I think he went down to, you know, Bible said, you know, the souls that were in prison, Jesus went down, you know, to a place called hell. Not exactly the lake of fire. And he went in there and, you know, whooped the devil and got the keys of hell and death, left captivity captive. Now, Jesus did all of this in order that he might bring us from out of the bondage of the fear of death, the liberty of the sons of God. And there is a process to becoming like the sons of God. You know, John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, become sons of God. So that word or verb, become, indicates that there is a process to it. Praise the Lord. And the process we will be describing in this pillar of how to know him. Praise the Lord. Show me thy way, Lord, I may know thee. Now, so we have talked about what was in his mind from the beginning, was that he was going to make Christ, you know, a blueprint, if you want to call him that, and all the other sons of God will be just like him. You know, he said, we conformed to the image of Christ. So that's the final destination, the end state. The current state is whatever we are now, but the end state is to be like Christ. Praise God. 1 John chapter 3 verses 1 and 2, you know, talks about it. He says, you know, beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You know, wow. You know, and that's why, you know, it was in my heart to just play that song and sing that song. He looked beyond my fall. He called me anyway. And I have a testimony of when I met him. You know, what a wonderful day it was. It changed my life. You know, and he said, well, the world knew us not because the world didn't know him. But we know him. Praise God. You know, in fact, Jesus said in one place, well, if I said that I didn't know him, then I'd be a liar like you guys. But I know him. Glory to God. For I came forth and proceeded out of him. You know, so we also know him. Hallelujah. We are made in the image of Christ. Made in heaven, assembled upon the earth, to function like him right here. Praise God. You know, so we must examine what that all means. You know, yeah, he said, beloved, now are we the sons of God? We already are. In fact, we were in his mind even before the world began. And it doth not yet appear. So this is our current state. In our current state, we're not quite yet like what we should be. But we know, see, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So this is all about becoming like him. When he appears, finally, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will no longer be shrouded in any kind of mystery, or we can't see him. We will see him. You know, but there's also another dimension to this verse. There's a revelation part of this verse than what it looks like at first sight. At first sight, this verse looks like, oh, when Christ comes in his glory, we will see him as he is. Okay. But then what about this part that says that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, The reason we shall be like him is because we will see him as he is. How does seeing him as he is make us be like him? And that's the part I want to talk about now. So pay attention, please. To see him as he is when he shall appear, it means whatever attribute of himself that Christ reveals to us when he shall appear. That's a revelation. When Christ appears, when he reveals an attribute of himself, and you see and adore that attribute in him, that's what you can become. It's that simple. When we see him in his glory, then that glory that Isaiah 60 talks about, say, rise and shine, for the glory of God is risen upon you. The glory cannot be risen upon us until first we see Christ in his glory. I mean, because all it is we are a reflection of that glory. Jesus said in John 17:22, the glory that I had with you from the beginning, I have given to them. If Christ didn't have it, we couldn't get it. And then when he reveals that, we can become that when we begin to understand and adore that. If the moment that God reveals his love in his heart, the kindness in his heart, the compassion in his heart, and we begin to see that in him, that's an attribute that we can become. Because we begin to see, when you see his holiness, hallelujah, as he reveals himself, and we see these attributes in him, that's what we can become. So when he shall appear, think of it as when he shall reveal himself, and it comes like, manifest himself. Jesus said in John 14:21, which we've read multiple times in this series, that he that loveth me is the one that's keeping my commandments. And such person, I will manifest myself. In other words, make myself appear, make myself seen, make myself known. So when he manifests himself, we begin to see some attributes of him that we haven't seen before. And we begin to adore and worship him for his holiness, and we can become like that. When we begin to adore and worship him for his kindness, his compassion, his heart of love, then we can become like that. So what we see and adore in him is what we can become. My little children, Paul said in Galatians 4:19, of whom I travail in birth again and again and again until Christ be formed in you. So there's a process of Christ being formed in us. It's not just instantaneous, just because we gave our lives to Christ. It's the beginning of the journey, but it's a process of transformation, transforming us into his image and his glory as by the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're being changed into his glory. Well, how? Well, you're looking at the mirror. When you're looking at the mirror, the first time you start out, what you see is something that's bent out of shape. It doesn't look anything like Christ at all. That's what you see when you look in the mirror. And what is that mirror? The Word of God. That's what James tells us. So you're looking at that mirror, you see in the reflection something that doesn't look like Christ. And then, you look again, you begin to see, as you begin to look into that perfect love, liberty, the more you read that word, the more you meditate that word, the more you can begin to see more attributes of him, the more that word drops off on you. And the next time you look at the mirror, my goodness, you're seeing something different. Praise God. You see a new version of yourself. You're not looking like you used to look you're looking a little bit different now. Now, what is it? Well, he's changing you from glory to glory. You're looking more like Christ, you know. And someday, finally, when you look in that mirror, what you will see is Christ. You will just see Christ. You know, you are standing here, you're looking in that mirror, but what you are seeing is Christ. You're not seeing that old man anymore. That old man is fading away. Now, anytime we look in that mirror and we still see a reflection that looks like that old man, then we need to go back to the drawing table. That's all it means, you know. So let us not be a forgetful hearer of the word, because, you know, if you are a forgetful hearer of the word, you're like somebody. This is what James said in James chapter 1, you know, beginning from verse 23 or so. For if any be a hearer of the word, let me start it from verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. If you are hearers only, he said, you are deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man that's beholding his natural face in the glass. And he just looks, but he doesn't do anything about it, even though he sees that his face doesn't look right. You look, your face is messed up or dirty. The mirror shows that to you, but you don't fix it. Well, that's like a forgetful hearer of the word. But a person that is hearing the word, you know, and not just forgetting it, but is not a forgetful hearer. He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the mirror, which is the word of God, and continueth therein, letting the word of God influence and mold their life and make them over where areas where they are messed up. And many of you resemble this remark, you know, as the Lord makes you over, myself included, you see that you're becoming more and more like him. But there is an effort in our part. He's helping us, but we must also yield and put away the old man. Anytime the old man raises his ugly head, when you look in that mirror and you're looking like the old man instead of looking more like Christ, well, there's some more work that needs to do. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit, through your looking in that mirror, will show you the area that's not quite looking like Christ. What you should be seeing when you look at that mirror is a reflection of Christ, not a reflection of you. See, when we see ourselves in that mirror, then we still got a long way to go in the process of becoming like him. Now, you know, the message and the lesson here today is, number one, was God's intention to make us in his own image. And he did. Something messed that up along the way. What did mess that up? Disobedience. And we read that the other day. One man's disobedience, you know, caused us to be in this problem. But likewise, one man's perfect obedience, just Christ, brought us back into right standing with God. Now, what shall we say then to these things? Shall the old nature, you know, win in this battle? There's always the old man. The Bible says, put off the old man and put on the new man, which is Christ. Yeah. So, you know, there is this constant battle. The old man is in the flesh. New man is in the spirit. The flesh lusted against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. They are loggerhead. They can't, you know, see eye to eye. But the new man must win, because that is how we are created. We're a new creation. That's what he says. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, it's a new creation. You know, all things, you know, old things are passed away. Behold, all things will become new. Likewise, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So it's like we're a new creation all over, you know, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And God demonstrated this story to the prophet Jeremiah, you know, and he said to him one day, he said, get up and go somewhere. I'm going to show you the word of the Lord when you get there. And so let's pick up this story in Jeremiah chapter 18. That's what the Lord said to him. Word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. You know, he said, well, so I went down to the potter's house. And when I got there, I found him making pottery. Because that's what a potter does. It was, you know, he said he wrought, was walking on something on the wheels. He was making pottery. Had this thing going, you know. But the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. It was messed up, you know. So he made it again. Hallelujah. Another vessel, even as it seemed good to the potter to make it. That's right. So when you look in that perfect law of liberty, which is the mirror or the word of God, if you see a marred vessel, well, Holy Ghost is available, Holy Spirit, to do a makeover. Hallelujah. I call it a Holy Ghost makeover, you know, because he's the only one that can do it, but we must yield to him as he reveals. See, now, you may get flashes when you're looking in that mirror. This is something the Lord has shown me, and I'm trying to explain to you, and I don't know how I can show it to you without showing you the vision, but trying to use words to explain it. So, you may get flashes. You look in that mirror, and something flashes. You see the old man, and then you look again, you see something that looks like a new man, looks like Christ. And then you look again, one of them gets blurred, you know, someone is getting blurred. Which one? Is it the old man or is it the new man? At first, the new man may be blurry because you're still trying to figure it out. The old man is ruling. And every time, you know, we allow that old man to rule, that, you know, it's like you see at first, you know, it's like you see two things. It's like a person that has astigmatism. They're seeing two things, and they're seeing the two images. And eventually one image overlaps the other, you know, and then, you know, the old man fades away. The new man is there. Just visualize it. But if we don't stay in the word and leave that old man on the fire, on the altar, well, he will rise again. And all of a sudden, you know, the vision, the picture, the image of the old man is appearing again in that mirror, and the new man is blurry. Well, that's not what we want. If that's what you see, you need to cry out, you know, the Holy Spirit to help you. What you want to see when you look in the mirror is a reflection of Christ. Now, remember, I've been talking about mirror. I have not been talking about telescope or microscope or magnifying glass. I've been talking about mirror. All those other things, telescope, microscope, magnifying glass, you know, is what we take, what we use to look at something else other than ourselves, or look at somebody else. Find, you know, the mote in their eye when we have a log in ours. You know, those are instruments of looking at someone else. No. What we want is a mirror that looks back on us, showing us ourselves. Now, what do you see in that mirror when you look? This is the exercise I want us to practice today. Gaze into the mirror in the spirit. You might even gaze into a physical mirror too. What do you see in that physical mirror when you look at that mirror? So, when you're in the morning in the mirror, you're trying to get dressed to go out to the church service or whatever. What do you see in that mirror? Is this something that actually looks like Christ? Is this something that glorifies Christ? Well, take a look again the next time. You know, and then daily we can look in that mirror and see, what do you see when that anger, bitterness, and all those things, unforgiveness, when they are raising up, it's like a brewing, it's like a gathering storm. When that thing is gathering inside of you, look in that mirror in that moment and tell me what you see, or tell yourself what you see. What you see in that moment will not be looking like Christ. Yeah, but what we want to see is a reflection of Christ. You know, God called Abraham early on in his life, and then for many years he was walking with God, kind of. And later on, God appeared to him again and says this to him in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. I mean, this was many years, 24 years since God first called him or so. And God is still demanding something. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto him, you know, and said something. You know, he said, well, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, you see, kind of been walking before God. God called him way back in Genesis chapter 12. Spoke to him a lot in Genesis 13, 15, 14. Even he had an encounter with Melchizedek in Genesis 14, you know, and so on and so forth. I mean, he's been having all these encounters. But God comes to him here and demands perfection. You know, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Well, you know, look in the mirror. What do you see? Do you see perfection? Jesus also demands the same thing. Matthew 5 and 48. He said, therefore be ye also perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You say, well, who can be perfect? Well, Jesus said you should be. And, you know, we will be, because that's what becoming like him is all about. Now, this prayer that starts out with, that I may know him, you know, must end in becoming like him. That's where it ends, because that's where he started. God said they will be like us. Well, you know, if we're not like him, then that means the clay is messed up in the hand of the potter, and he must do a makeover. Glory to God. So now, Jesus made this statement in Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. He said, a disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Well, that means, again, you know, the process of discipleship is to make us become like the master. And that process is called the road to perfection. Because that's what Jesus said. The disciple is not greater than the master, but when he is perfect, he will be like the master. But in the process of being discipled, the goal is for him to be like the master. When he becomes like the master, Jesus calls him perfect. Yeah, that's it. Now, many disciples may not become exactly like the master, but they get close to it. People even in craft, in trade, in careers, training and all of that, they do training, apprenticeship and all this kind of thing, internship and so on and so forth. Even people who do crafts, handiwork, tailoring and all these things, carpentry and so forth, they learn, they are going through, and they are, you know, practicing under the master, and they are in training for quite a while. Someday, when the master thinks they are perfect or they are ready, he gives them a release. You know, because, you know, we have this tradition in Nigeria. You know, go through all these things and other places. They have their release. They do their release. They celebrate. Then they go and start their own thing. You know, but it's a process that Jesus is describing in Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Every disciple that's on the road to becoming like the master, that discipleship process will lead them one day to be like the master, and that's called perfection. Every disciple that is perfect shall be like his master. So that's what God demands of us. You know, praise the Lord. Now, let's read 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. I'm going to talk much more about this again by the grace of God tomorrow. Let me leave this here with you. Remember what we read in 1 John 3, you know, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Well, in this 1 John 4 and 17, and this John was a man that was consumed with things like love and becoming like Christ and so on. You know, Christ appearing to us. He wrote about it in the Gospels. He wrote about it in the epistles. And 1 John chapter 4. And verse 17 gives you another insight into this. You know, it says, well, herein is our love made perfect. Again, talking about perfection. We may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, that's Christ. So are we in this world? Well, you know, that's going to take some work, you know, to get there. That's why Paul said, I'm still traveling while you are going through the process of Christ being formed fully in you. So what happens if we quit along the way? Well, that means Christ will not be fully formed yet. It's still in the making. You know, if you are manufacturing a car, and let's say you're going through the assembly line and so forth, and before they put everything all together, you know, there's many processes and many things that adding on, putting on, taking off, burning and refining and so on. You know, if they yank that thing off the assembly line before it gets to the end, it will never become what that designer had in mind, you know. Content creators and people who manufacture things, you know, they have something in mind. Even God has something in mind, you know. So that's architects. That's what they do. You know, before they build a building, you know, they come up with a blueprint. They design something. And sometimes it's not even just a blueprint. They can use different, you know, advanced technologies to give you a 3D look of even what they have in mind, and they can put different things there. If it's an estate or a house, an estate, they can show you what's going to look like when we put flowers here, when we put streets here, when cars are here, when people are walking, can show you all those different things. This is what's in the mind of the designer. He already has it in his mind. And then he's going to build something to reflect what he has in his mind. It's what all creators do. You know, and whether you are a web designer, content creator, architect, manufacturer, whatever, it starts out by something, a picture of what they want to accomplish or what they want to build or create. You know, now I call create not in the grandiose sense of God, but, you know, people create little things, you know. So now God also, in his mind, he had a pattern, had a design you know, they call him Christ. And he designed him to be the blueprint. And he said, well, all the others will look like him. They'll become like him. And he's predetermined in his mind that their final state, predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. So this is so important that we will dwell even more on it by the grace of God. I have introduced this lesson of becoming like Christ, but it is so vast and so deep that we will talk some more about it. We must get to the point where when we look in that mirror, what we are seeing looks more and more like Christ. Less and less like ourselves. If we still continue to see yourself when you look in that mirror, and that mirror is the Word of God. You know, there are some people that see themselves, like this Pharisee that was in Luke chapter 18. All he saw was his good works. He said, well, I'm not like other men. When he was looking in the mirror, what he was seeing was himself. His own, what he thought, you know, were his own achievements, his own righteousness. I mean, who thought within themselves they were self-righteous and despised others. That's what Christ said. So what he saw was his goodness, how he fasts twice a week, how he gives alms of all he possesses, how he's not like other sinners, how he does this and that, and so forth. That's all he saw in the mirror. Well, what God wanted him to see in the mirror was Christ. And anyone that's seeing themselves in the mirror, their prayer is going nowhere. But we saw that man's prayer went nowhere. The other man, though, he actually couldn't even so much as look in the mirror because he knew that what he was going to see was messed up. So he bowed down his head, beat upon his chest, said, Lord, I cannot even look. I know I'm going to see a big mess. Yeah, so just help me, Lord. Help me clean it up. You know, and the Lord said he went home justified. The Spirit of God began to walk upon him because he humbled himself like that. You know, so rather than looking at our own achievements and what good we are, yesterday we talked about the servant saying, I'm an unprofitable servant. I have not done anything other than my duty. But we need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, this area in my life, Holy Spirit will show it to you. He's not quite looking like Christ yet. Help me. Praise God. We must say, show me, Lord, thy way. You know, this is my own way. My own thought is like this. And I say, no. I know, Lord, that your thought is higher than mine. I know that your ways are higher than mine. Show me your ways that I may know you. That I may become a reflection of you. Jesus was the reflection of the Father. It's called the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of the invisible God. Now, we also must be the express image of Christ. And so the Gospels were a record of Christ's physical life. Show us how he operated. To help us when we're reading those Gospels, you know, to see what we must become. Glory to God. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 17, I read these two more scriptures to you. We'll wrap it up for today. Come back and develop this concept even more tomorrow by God's grace. You know, he said in John chapter 17 and verse 18, in that powerful prayer, as thou hast sent me, praying to the Father, into the world, even though also have I sent them into the world. That was his prayer. You sent me, and I have also sent them. Well, I came in my Father's name. I came not to do my own will and not to preach my own doctrine. The Son can do nothing of himself. All those things that Christ said. And I said, well, in the same way, I have sent them to go represent. That's what he said in his prayer. And I'm praying that God should give us the grace to do that. Then he turned around in John chapter 20 and 21. In this 17th chapter, he was praying. In this 20th chapter, he wasn't praying. He was just saying it. And in fact, conferring it upon the disciples. And he said to them in John 20 and 21, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." He prayed about it, and he knew that the Father had given the answer, and now he comes and confers it upon them. Well, the Father sent me, and I was like him, and I represented. Well, I'm now sending you to be like me and represent. And this must be our prayer every day, even as we are on this journey of walking with God. The final destination of this walking with God journey is when he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'll talk more about this tomorrow by the grace of God. That's our lesson for today. Praise the Lord. Let me call it a wrap here. Father, I thank you for the intention that you revealed. I was in your heart to make us like you. Glory to God. What a honor that the Father has bestowed upon us. What great love he should call us sons of God to be just like Christ. Now, Father, I pray for enablement from the Holy Spirit that as we look into that perfect law of liberty, we begin to see a reflection that looks less and less like the old man in us, but more and more like the Christ. Pray, Lord, that you help us. Help me, help my brothers and my sisters that are on this platform. Give us understanding of what these things mean. Paul said, you know, knowing the fear of God, the terror of the Lord, we use great plainness of speech. I have tried to use great plainness of speech in describing this great mystery. I pray, Lord, that you help us to understand it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.